Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on a Thursday, March 27th. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on this Thursday. And it's time to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's time for our weekly goaltending chat with our goaltending expert. Kevin Woodley joins us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com out of Vancouver. But Kevin is not in the Lower Mainland. No, sir. He is in our fair city on this Thursday. Welcome to Calgary. And the Vancouver weather is, it followed you here. How are we doing?
Well, sadly, it didn't follow me here because it was 14 degrees and sunny, and most of my friends are thinking about breaking out the golf clubs this week. So we were finally getting a taste of actual spring. So this is a little depressing, except, hey, I'm in Calgary, so that's a good thing.
We hope you enjoy yourself in Calgary for the weekend. We ask you about Dustin Wolf all the time, and funny enough, we'll ask you about Dustin Wolf again. Put on a really impressive display against Seattle on Tuesday night as the Flames were able to pull that one out of the fire, 4-3 in overtime. You know, with what you're seeing from Dustin Wolf, what you've seen from him all season long, and the Flames have 12 games to go this year before they determine whether or not they're going to make the playoffs or not. If you're a Flames fan, if you're a Flames observer, with Wolf between the pipes, just how confident should that make you that maybe the Flames can sneak their way in here?
You know what? I look at it even bigger picture than that, if I'm honest, Pat.
Like, yeah.
Whether it happens or not, could there be some ups and downs yet to come as he goes through this for the first time? Yeah, that's all possible. And maybe one of those downs is one too many. But to see him doing this at this age, to see him getting this experience at such an early part of his NHL career like this, and to see those performances, to see the bounce back after the Toronto game, it all bodes really well, you know, both for their odds, obviously, of making the playoffs. And I think you got to throw Dan Vladar for the efforts he's had in his appearances since the Four Nations into that mix as well. But long-term as well, what this means for the franchise to have a goaltender like Wolf, who, despite all the success this season, you know is not going to rest on his laurels, is going to learn whatever lessons are required in terms of where, you know, they're all just marginal, small percentages, 1-2% here or there. If he can make improvements, he'll make them. And so to have the success he's had at such a young age with such little experience, to add this experience, to have it under his belt moving forward, I think it all just bodes really well, short-term and long-term.
Kev, Dustin Wolf makes his 44th start of the season tonight. Flames have 12 to go, starting obviously tonight against Dallas, just one back-to-back left in there. How many games would you be comfortable going with the youngster down the stretch?
I haven't looked at their schedule. I apologize for that in advance, to see how spread out they are beyond the back-to-back. To me, honestly, it depends on the performance too, right? Okay. Like, if you see signs of fatigue, because you can still win games at less than 100%, but the trick for a goalie coach is to see if you get into parts of the season where you see diminishing returns and you believe that's related to fatigue, mental or physical. Do you see your goaltender dropping from 80 to 75% or 90 to 80%? And do you feel like, hey, one more night off, and it will depend on opponents and where they are and what the odds look like and what everyone else is doing. And if St. Louis ever loses again, but there might come a point there where as a goalie coach, you look at a start and you're like, hey, this needs a little work in practice, but there's no way we have that time in practice because we're so focused on rest. If I give him this night off, I feel like we can get him back to 95%. Like, those are the things that I can't tell you from here or looking forward at what these next, you know, 12 starts look like and how they shape up. But those are the conversations that are had when you have a staff that's as good as this one and a goalie coach who's been around and been there, done that, and hopefully has a relationship, and I believe does have a relationship with his goalies, where there's an honesty back and forth. As much as the goalie's going to say, I'm ready, put me in there on an every night basis. We saw with Markstrom when he was in Vancouver, and there were times where you could just sort of see the slippage start in his game and those diminishing returns start to pile up, and it's like, okay, let's take a night off. Even when they didn't trust their backup option at the time, because they knew that if they kept rolling him out there, it would become 75, 70, 65% of his best, but a night off could get you back to 90 for the next handful of starts. And so, yeah, my hunch is if he keeps playing like he is right now, and, you know, since the Four Nations break, he's top nine in adjusted save percentage at plus 2.1%, which is even better than his season average. So there isn't signs of fatigue, despite, you know, the odd start here and there. I think you're probably looking in, out of 12, at least eight. You know, if you're still chasing it and he's your best option, you maybe even get to nine. But don't be surprised if they decide within there that there's a game where they have to make a decision like that.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley. He is our goaltending expert. He joins us every Thursday here on Flames Talk as we talk Flames goaltending and around the league and all year long. Kev, we've also been talking about the team that you cover on a regular basis, and that's the Vancouver Canucks over at NHL.com. And the Canucks have pulled out a couple of gutsy wins here on the road. They go into New Jersey, score late, and win in a shootout in Thatcher Demko's return. And then two nights later, on to Long Island, they beat him by a 5-2 score in a bit of a gutsy comeback as well, and Demko again picks up the win. So 2-for-2 for Thatcher since his return, and we've been talking about Thatcher's imminent return for quite some time. You spoke very glowingly of the way he was playing prior to his most recent injury. What have we seen from him now that he's been back for the last couple?
Pretty much a return to that form. There were some moments in the first start against New Jersey where I thought as the Devils sort of piled up some shifts in the offensive zone, and even when they weren't dangerous chances, just a lot of cycling that forces the goalie to move around, almost like a power play where you're, you know, constantly moving. The most draining part of a game for a goaltender is constantly like push, stop, set, push, stop, set. Like just like doing a bunch of up and downs for two straight minutes when a team has you hemmed like that. I thought maybe as that game went on, because of that, there was some fatigue that showed up, maybe in the decision-making, some reads where some of his aggression, well, I wouldn't say uncharacteristic, it left him unable to get to secondary opportunities when he didn't have the defensive help. But overall, they get through that one. He makes some brilliant saves within it, including most of probably seeing the two-on-one in overtime on Paul Cotter, where it's full splits all the way across. Gives them a chance to come back and win it in a shootout. That's a sign to me that he, whatever it was, you know, it's been reported as a groin injury. There's no hesitation physically in his game. And whatever was maybe not at 100%, whether it was because of fatigue or just the reads that come with playing, they were all back to peak performance by the next start. And so I wondered if they'd be able to, can he get away with the first one where he's maybe not 100% with those reads? They did, and he was full value against the Islanders, especially early in the game. I mean, a couple of two-on-ones against former Canuck Bo Horvat. One, he gets across in the splits and makes a pad save. And to me, the second one was even more remarkable because, again, it's an odd man rush where Horvat's all alone, and this time he makes no mistake, he elevates, and Thatcher's coming across sort of full splits, but not sprawled. Still in control, torso up, blocker extended, makes a reactive blocker save to a puck that, you know, wasn't just getting the pad across wasn't going to be enough in that instance. So perfect. No, there were moments in that game where the reads were a little off, didn't get a lot of help defensively against the Islanders, but pretty much not quite officially statistically a stolen win, but he certainly kept them in it early and gave them a chance to steal one late. You know, that bodes well for the Canucks and their long odds of getting and staying back in this race, because if you can get another start out of him in Columbus, and if they're comfortable with three in a row, I don't think you'd go four in a row with an afternoon start in Winnipeg on Sunday. But the longer you can ride him, and you do have to be careful, but whether it's three in a row or three out of four, it gives you a chance to get Lankinen back to the guy we saw earlier this season, because fatigue has clearly crept into his game. His numbers were, you know, top of the table for the first month and a half of the season. They're actually below expected since then, and quite significantly so since the Four Nations. But yes, that's not a criticism. It's to be expected. He was a part of the Four Nations. There was a lot of stress. I mentioned to you guys a couple weeks ago, there were goalies that didn't play a game in the Four Nations that came back and needed to get practices off for a week as they recovered from the mental fatigue of that tournament. Lankinen played. And then he came back, and they gave Seelovs two of the first four. But since then, he was like 11 out of 12 until Demko came back. And there were signs of fatigue. So for Vancouver, they're going to need brilliant goaltending performances, especially without Pettersson and Höglander, two-thirds of their top line, leaving the road trip already. They're going to need both goalies to be brilliant. And the best part of Demko playing as well as he has isn't just that he gives you a chance in those games. It's that it gives you a chance to get the old Kevin Lankinen back whenever that is, whether that's tomorrow in Columbus or Sunday in Winnipeg, and, you know, hopefully for the rest of this stretch drive, because you can't roll Demko out there on an every night basis at this point in the season.
Well, and Kev, right now the team that is keeping both the Canucks and the Flames behind them, the St. Louis Blues, and a big part of that is what we've seen from Jordan Binnington between the pipes, and obviously we know what he did at the Four Nations. We've asked a couple of times about him since the break, and here he is still doing exactly what's needed for St. Louis. Tell us a little bit more about Jordan Binnington as the Blues have 10 games to go this season.
You want to know, interestingly enough, this has been about the Blues more than it's been Binnington. Since the Four Nations break, he's actually 38th out of 65 goalies in adjusted save percentage. The environment is one of the friendlier ones in the NHL with an expected save percentage over 900, and he's underperformed it by almost a full, 1.3%, which is not what you would expect from Jordan Binnington, and even worse than what he was doing heading into the Four Nations. Now, he showed for Canada and has shown at times throughout this, but that in big moments, he'll find the ability to make, big momentum changing saves. He's always going to have that in his game. But overall, since the Four Nations, Joel Hofer's actually in his starts, which allows them to rest him a little bit because, again, nobody, I would argue, had a more stressful or more taxing Four Nations than Jordan Binnington. Mm-hmm. Some of this is to be expected, but they've managed to spot in Joel Hofer. He's 11th in the NHL since the Four Nations with his adjusted numbers behind a much tougher environment. He's gotten them wins when they haven't played as well. The beauty for St. Louis, though, is they've been better defensively overall, and they're scoring at an unreal clip. Like, they're generating at a top-level clip. So as much as Binnington is the focus and as much as I'm on to talk about goalies, the reality is this is the Blues playing an exceptional team game, getting contributions throughout. And at times, not needing their goaltenders, frankly, to not steal games, but just not needing, just relying on Binnington to sort of not lose them. And from a statistical standpoint, that's kind of where he's at right now.
Kevin, there is no question whatsoever that you picked the right Alberta city to visit this weekend.
Agreed.
But if you just put yourself in Edmonton for a couple brief minutes, what should the level of concern there be about a potential injury to Stuart Skinner?
Is that just a this weekend thing, or is that just an all the time thing?
It stands at all times. Yeah, I can't think of any reason that would be changed.
The injury risk. This is twice now where somebody sort of skated through his head. People in Edmonton probably don't want to hear this, but watching the play even in slow motion last night, I don't know that I fault Rantanen for it. I've talked about this, I think, with you guys and definitely extensively on my hits there in Edmonton, but that tendency to sort of, with the narrow butterfly and to sort of get pitched forward, after that puck goes over, you can see him falling forward and almost falling into the path that Rantanen's taking. And in real time, that's hard to avoid. I would like to see more done to avoid some of these crease collisions. And I've warned for a long time that this was a byproduct of blue paint only and, only taking away goals upon review, that a lot of these collisions should have been goalie interference and penalized the guys in advance, and we wouldn't have as many heads getting clipped. But this is twice for Skinner, and it's at a really unfortunate time because he's trying to sort of get his game back right now, and it hasn't been great since the Four Nations. well below expected, 42nd out of 65 goalies around the league. And the flip side of this is, for all the attention on Calvin Pickard having better numbers, it's behind a significantly better environment, both since the Four Nations and on the season as a whole. And so Pickard's numbers, like his expected save percentage since the Four Nations, is 908. His expected save percentage, Skinner's is 879. So a lot of people are comparing their results, and the reality is the adjusted numbers in terms of performance are really similar. But the raw numbers are going to favor Pickard in a significant way because, what, that's 21, 29 points higher. Like, you need to add almost 30 points to Stuart Skinner's save percentage to compare their environment. And on this season, it's kind of similar. Matter of fact, when I was looking this up to sort of, you know, compare Hellebuck and Vasilevsky and the Vezina race, there was only one goalie in the entire NHL for the season, one regular, that had a higher expected save percentage. In other words, a quote-unquote easier environment than those two goalies. And it was Calvin Pickard. So as good as he's been on the raw numbers, and as much as there are Oilers fans who were already clamoring for him to get more starts, the caveat is, if you throw him into the environment that Skinner's faced, unless we've got an argument here where the team is playing better in front of Calvin Pickard and for him, and that turns around, when he's in a tougher environment, those numbers are going to be reflected as well. And if Skinner's not healthy and that happens, you know, they called up Ollie Rodrigue today. I wouldn't mind seeing him get a game or two while he's up, because the options are pretty thin after that for the Edmonton Oilers. They really haven't insulated themselves. There's no Devin Cooley tearing it up in the minor leagues. There's nobody with a ton of experience. I love Colin Delia, but he hasn't been an NHL regular for years and struggled a bit when he was here in Vancouver the last time. There's not help on the horizon here for the Edmonton Oilers. If Skinner remains injured and if Pickard does actually get exposed with a greater workload.
Quickly, last one for you, Kev. The Flames are going to see Casey DeSmith for the Stars after Jake Oettinger got the start on Wednesday in Edmonton. So it's DeSmith on a Thursday on the second half of the back-to-back. Tell us a little bit more about how his season has compared maybe to Jake Oettinger's.
Yeah, I think when you look at it on the surface, as a Flames fan, you're probably thinking, all right, we get the backup tonight and we don't have to face Oettinger. And Oettinger obviously has a pedigree and a reputation. The reality is Oettinger's been right around, and he's been great of late. He's had some really good games, had a shutout a couple starts ago, has been playing better of late, but his numbers are right around league average when you adjust them for the environment. And Casey DeSmith is actually top three in the NHL in adjusted save percentage. He's been one of the best backups in the entire league. Him and Jake Allen are kind of 1-2 for that right now. Only Logan Thompson and Darcy Kemper have a better adjusted save percentage on the season. And since the break, sort of since the Four Nations break, he's actually been even better, plus 3.3%, which is also top four in the league. So even amongst the guys who've just been on a heater of late, he's near the top of that category as well. So full value for a guy that the Dallas Stars wisely locked up for three full years at just $1 million per. He's been one of the best backups in the league. This is not going to be a bargain for the Calgary Flames in terms of trying to score on him. One thing you can try and do, there aren't many very numbers for him that are in the red this year, but quick shots, one-timers, screens, traffic, deflections, and then slot line play, so east-west, he's been really good on. If you get them off the rush, normally we try and target goalies closer to the net, low slot line plays, but the goalies in Dallas tend to play a little more assertively, a little more, I would almost call it aggressive positionally. And so if you've got an odd man rush and you can make that play higher in the zone, and we think about goalies that come out early and retreat, well, if you're still high in the zone and they haven't started that retreat, you complete an east-west pass, they've got a lot further to travel than if you get lower in the zone and they've retreated and shortened that lateral distance. So high slot line plays, high slot line passes, screens, traffic, and a tendency as plays get down the wall into angle to be a little aggressive there, even from the point at times on low high passes, can sort of drift up quite a bit. So if you can funnel plays to the side from there, look for tips and deflections to the side of the net, anything that tries to exploit that little bit of positional aggressiveness that we can see and have seen in Casey's dismissed game and in the Stars in general. But if you, even if you create those guys, you got to make sure you elevate on the back end of them. He is so fast. I remember when he came to Vancouver last year, it was as a trade late in the, either late in the summer or early in the preseason from Montreal. And then later that year, the Canadians came through town, and talking to some of their goalies, because they had skated with Casey in the summer, and including Jake Allen at the time, just marveled at how fast he was. So even if he's aggressive, he can get across. You've got to make sure you bury on those. Do not count on beating him along the ice, because there's a chance he'll get a pad there, and you know, the ability to create momentum turning saves out of what should be momentum generating goals.
Great stuff, as always, Kev. Enjoy your time in Calgary. Hopefully we get a little better weather for you the rest of the weekend, hey?
Absolutely. I'm going to be in the gym watching volleyball all weekend, so it probably won't matter, but it'd be nice to poke my head out and see the sunshine at some point. I'll count on you guys for ordering that up for me.
Done. We're on it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend, hey?
Thanks, guys.
That's Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He joins us every Thursday for a spin around the league when it comes to goaltenders. And Kevin joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Barcast Hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.